So in the United States, we talk about that now, that this is 100 years later. And like, what will this version of the roaring 20s look like, you know, with like, when the world opens up again, and everybody is happy and joyful, and we can see each other and have parties and gatherings or whatever, and what will it be referred to? But I feel like we're on the cusp of this next version of the roaring 20s. And I hope that we can see each other sooner rather than later.
Ich bin Tina Busch und das ist mein Podcast, der Pop-Up-Cast. Herzlich willkommen. Ich freue mich, dass du da bist. Dieser Podcast ist mein ganz persönliches Passion-Project, das mich durch die Corona-Zeit begleiten wird. Was ist das Ziel? Ehrlich gesagt habe ich nur ein einziges Ziel: Spaß zu haben. Nichts muss, aber alles kann. Lass dich, lassen wir uns überraschen. Viel Spaß!
Welcome to a new episode of the Pop-Up Cast. This is my first interview in English, and I have a guest here from Atlanta, Georgia, and it's my dear friend, Angela. Hello, Angela. It's good to have you here on the podcast.
Hello. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad we're doing this in English and not German.
Next time it will be in German.
I'll brush my German up and next time.
Okay, really good. Yeah, we just started talking about the weather and when I asked you how you're doing. So could you tell us what's going on at the moment in Atlanta, Georgia?
Yes, I was just telling Tina that it is a cozy day, or so I thought. It's rainy and overcast and I'm inside the house by myself. My kids are all at school and I was kind of getting, you know, excited / nervous to do this podcast and be tucked away inside where I'm safe and cozy. And then I started getting tornado alerts on my phone. And so I told Tina that if I run away quickly to my basement, that you guys will know why. So it is pretty bad weather right now, which is weather in Georgia in the springtime. So
yes, very typical.
Yes. Yes, it is. So.
You already mentioned that your kids are at school at the moment. So this is a topic I would like to talk about later. But first of all,
yes.
I would like to ask you to introduce yourself. So who are you? What do you do? And then the biggest question, how did you become the person that you are now?
This is a hard question to sum it up quickly for anybody. I am 43 years old, live in Atlanta. I'm married and I have 3 kids. And I would say that the thing that shaped me the most in my life is that I am a military brat. So my dad was in the Air Force and I moved around a lot as a child. He was career military. So I moved 7 times, I think, as a child. And I went to 8 different schools between kindergarten and 12th grade. And that was really hard for me. However, I think it also, for better or worse, or for worse, made me kind of who I am today. I am married. I have what I consider to be a very strong marriage. And he really grounds me and has allowed, since we've lived in Atlanta for so long, has allowed me to feel like this is where I live. This is now kind of where I'm from. This is where our children are from. And I'm really thankful for moving around and having that shape me as a child, but I'm also really glad to have kind of stability and be grounded somewhere for a long time and we've been married a long time now, but feel a sense of stability, if you will, even though I've had a stable home life, but so I've kind of grown and changed, but that always, I always go back to being a military brat and my relationships, my friendships, and how that shaped me in life. So.
And what do you do now? You say that you are a mom of 3 kids, but your kids are not that young anymore. So what do you do?
Yeah. So I am a stay-at-home mom. But for a while I worked when they were young and I'm kind of a little bit of everything. So, or nothing, depending on how you put it.
Everything sounds so much better.
Yes, Yeah, it does sound better, right? So I have an environmental science degree. So I did environmental consulting for a while and I didn't really care for that. So then I spun that and started doing interior design and worked somewhere and learned for a long time and then started my own business. So I did that for a long time until I had my third child and it just became too hard to do that. So I do a little bit of that on the side still, but it's a very tiny amount. I'm a consultant for a company, and Tina and I talked about this a little bit, called Beauty Counter, which actually might be a little bit intriguing to your German listeners, because the United States has very little in terms of laws when it comes to the personal care industry. So meaning like toothpaste and lotions and moisturizer, all of these things. The United States only bans 30 like known terrible toxic ingredients from our personal care lines, whereas the European Union bans 1400. And so that was a long way of me saying, this company that I'm a consultant for, we have a product or product line that bans 1800 known, you know, we're talking carcinogens, just all kinds of toxic endocrine disruptors, et cetera. So I am a consultant for that and really feel very passionate about that, to kind of change legislation, et cetera, in the United States. And so that is what I do now. And it allows me to be a stay-at-home mom while doing that at the same time. So that difference between 30 versus 1400 banned ingredients between the United States and the EU is pretty fascinating / terrifying to me. So I'm hoping to be part of that change for the United States.
And how does that work, the Beauty Counter concept? How do you sell the products and how do you want to change the laws or the regulations?
Excuse me. So I sell to, you have like a team and it is a little, I'm trying to find my words. Some people kind of turn their nose up at it, I guess would be how to say, you know, and so I sell to my friends and family and anybody else who wants to buy. And I also have a team and we're trying to kind of disrupt the beauty industry, if you will. And so I've got a team of women that I work with and we sell directly. It's a kind of direct sales. So I sell directly to my friends and family and anybody else, as well as the people on my team. Now, at the same time, Beauty Counter also has their own stores. So there's a handful of actual stores. So if you, and also a website that you can buy from. So if you didn't want to buy from a consultant like myself, you can also go to a Beauty Counter store and buy it directly there, or on the website and buy it there. And then, you know, I wouldn't get a commission off of that. You can just buy directly from Beauty Counter. Mm-hmm. If you buy from me, then I get a commission on that. And the whole point of that would be that Beauty Counter believes that change happens with conversation. Mm-hmm. I would venture to say that the majority of people in the United States have no idea what's in their personal care products. They have, you know, you live in the United States, of course they're not allowing this to happen. And I've learned real quickly that that is not the case with a lot of things in the United States. We can get into that later. it's complicated being an American. And so it allows that conversation to happen so people can become more educated on what it is and change that needs to happen. So we, you know, you kind of vote with your dollars as far as what you choose to buy. So that's one of the things. But also we, Beauty Counter, and we as consultants also go to Washington, D.C. and try to actually change laws and legislation. We have succeeded in, sunscreen laws, which I don't have to get into all of that, but Germany probably already has this in place, but certain sunscreens that are toxic to ocean life and the oceans. And so may change. And that has started in like Florida and in Hawaii and California. And then there's also some laws in California that have just been passed that Beauty Counter backed and was behind and really pushes that agenda. And California is a huge what's the word I'm looking for? They are so strong. And when things happen in California, when it comes to the environment or really anything, the rest of the United States tends to follow suit. Okay. And so California, that has happened. And then now we're also pushing something, some laws about it. Really, these laws are about disclaimers of having to list what's on your product, mm-hmm. so that people know that it doesn't fall within just fragrance, where all of these things land into this one word on an ingredient label. Now it has to all be listed so that you're aware of what's on your product. Mm-hmm. And then New York State is also trying to follow suit, and we are backing that and pushing that as well. And so hoping to do kind of one state at a time, because the United States is kind of complicated and laws happen with each state rather than the United States as a whole a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. I hope that made sense.
It does.
Okay.
So that means California is always the first step. And when you want to change something, you start in California, and then from there you try to conquer the rest of the United States.
A lot of the time, yes, because California is usually more open to it. Okay. And they are already pushing that and that agenda. They're kind of living that lifestyle already. In fact, with my environmental consulting, I interned in California, mm-hmm. And just their environmental laws there are just so much stronger when it comes to endangered species or, you know, air quality, mm-hmm. or now personal care products. They really are, they're just more aware, mm-hmm. and open to these changes and the importance of it.
Yeah.
So.
And you mentioned that it's Beauty Counter's goal to start conversations with customers. And how do you personally do that? Do you use social media for that? Or is it just the one-on-one conversations with friends?
Yeah, well, it used to be I'm better with one-on-one conversations or having even stuff at my house. But most of the time it's one-on-one conversations. A lot of people use social media, and I used to do that. I just can't seem to, COVID has really changed a lot of things for me, and I'm hoping mm-hmm. to get back to just having time to think straight, basically. But
don't we all wish
aren't
that?
We all? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So in my past life, pre-COVID, having more conversations and word of mouth, really. And so that is really how I did it, and hoping to get more on social media now, but not really having the time to do that at this point. I'm very sporadic when it comes to that, and I wish I weren't. Mm-hmm. So,
and now I have this question in my head, and I will ask that, and then we can come back to your daily life. So, Beauty Counter, one more time. What's your what's your most favorite product in the Beauty Counter line?
Oh, my favorite. Well, there's a product, like it's like a set, and it's called Counter Time. Mm-hmm. And it is for older skin or dry skin. And I love it.
Okay.
I love it. So it is it's for anti-aging, and it's very moisturizing, and it's very high quality, mm-hmm. while being clean at the same time and safe, which is a lovely combination. And so that the night cream and the eye cream are my favorites. So yes. And we don't sell in Europe yet, but one day, right now, it is just Canada and the United States. So one day, all of you, you don't necessarily need Beauty Counter because your products are already clean for the most part. So.
See, I don't know that much about our products, but of course we have more organic beauty lines, I think, than you have in the United States. And they list all the ingredients, and maybe our laws are stricter, but I don't know. I'm not sure about that, but I will still link to Beauty Counter, and I will also link to these products in the show notes, because there might be listeners in the United
there
States.
There might be
in Canada. Girl. Yeah. Who knows? I don't know, but yeah, I will definitely put that in there. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, you just said, that COVID changed a lot of things. And this is also one of the topics that I really wanted to talk to you about, because I think I'm interested in what life has been like in the United States, and also what life is like right now. When you said at the beginning, "Oh, my kids are all in school," I get jealous because my kids, yes, they have been at home since December, and there's no change to that inside. So
yes,
where should we start? Would you like to start with what daily life looks like now, or would you like to maybe look back to the past 12 months?
I can start by looking back to the past, mm-hmm, 12 months and kind of leading into this one, because this is all, most of it is relatively new as far as what life looks like now.
Okay.
And obviously it's very complicated, and it's complicated for you, and it's complicated for everybody listening right now. So this is my experience in Atlanta, or just, you know, in the United States. Like I said before, with Beauty Counter, even with each state having their own laws, and that's kind of how it has been for a lot of COVID as well. Each state has handled everything differently. It's just the way the United States is set up. So my experience in Georgia is different than somebody's experience in North Dakota or New York City or whatever. So, but all, for the most part, I would say relatively similar-ish. Our kids have, each county in Atlanta has handled school differently as well.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And so that, yes. So my answer is relatively complex, and I'll try to simplify it, but, I've got a ninth grader, and I've got a fifth grader, and I've got a third grader. My third grader is dyslexic, and I don't know that word in German. So,
dyslexia. So it's yes, the same. Yeah. It's the same word, okay, basically. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. He goes to a special school for dyslexia, and it's a very small school, and they have done a phenomenal job of having them in school this entire time.
Okay.
And so he went back in August and has been there this entire time. A few of his classes have shut down and had to quarantine for a couple of weeks here and there. But I mean, it has been very few, mm-hmm, classes, and they've been very, very wonderful with their communication and letting us know. And so far, we're at the very end of the school year. His classroom has not been quarantined. I hope it stays that way, obviously. And so he's been in school the whole time, mm-hmm, which has been lovely because he is dyslexic, and he is the one who was doing so poorly on, virtual school when things shut down in February. It just wouldn't have worked for him. It would have had to have worked for him. What am I talking about? But he would not have progressed, okay, in the school year the way he has now. Let me say that, yeah, because obviously it would have to if he was not able to go. My fifth grader, he just went back to school about a month ago, and he, okay, had been home since February doing virtual school and had
last
not
year?
Stepped in a, yes. So he had not stepped into a school building until, the beginning of March,
wow,
mid-March maybe, mm-hmm, of this year. So he had just been doing virtual school the whole time. And it's a county school. They are one of the few counties in Atlanta. They were the last to go back. So a lot of schools, mm-hmm, went back in like February of this year of 2021 in some sort of, you know, modified format, and this county that we live in, they just didn't go back at all. And so he is thrilled to be back in the classroom, mm-hmm, thrilled. And so far it's going okay. I will say that I bought a HEPA filter for his classroom,
okay, mm-hmm,
and put that in the classroom because I just did not feel good about, they were cleaning a lot, which, mm-hmm, as we know, cleaning doesn't do, as we've learned more about COVID, doesn't do as much. And I just wanted air quality. Mm-hmm. They're not able to open the windows because, once again, America, from a safety, I sound very American right now, don't I? From a safety standpoint, you're not allowed to open up windows in a school because of safety and, bad people getting in and, active shooters. So,
but at least the windows open theoretically.
They open theoretically.
Okay.
You just can't open them. So you're not allowed to.
in Germany, you have a lot of schools and the windows, they don't open. I mean, not even theoretically.
Oh, so interesting.
Not in my kids' classes, but I have heard, I've heard incidences like that. And also no running water, yes, but no warm water and not enough soap. So we have issues.
Like
that as well.
Everything is not perfect there either.
No.
Okay.
No, it isn't.
I mean, it's not perfect anywhere, but that's interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yes, in theory, I would say that all of the windows probably open, because I would say that from a safety standpoint for fire, it is required in the United mm-hmm. States. I think for all of the windows to open, but that they're not allowed to open. So he is back in school with that HEPA filter, and whether it does any good or not, it makes me feel a little bit better. They have to wear masks. I will say that my child with dyslexia, he also has to wear masks the entire day. Mm-hmm. And then so does my fifth grader. And then my ninth grader is in the same county, and she had the option of going back to school in person as well. When my fifth grader went back, but she chose not to. This whole year, she has been in a learning pod that we parents put together of about six ninth grade students who go to our church, to a classroom in the church, and they do school together. Virtually now, they all take different classes because they're in high school. So it's kind of like a one room schoolhouse, if you will, where they're doing their individual virtual lessons on their computers, but they're able to talk and socialize between classes. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much learning is actually happening there because there's no teacher, there's nothing keeping them in check. So, but from a social standpoint, at least she has had, a place to go each day and peers to talk to. They do not wear masks in that classroom. We just decided as parents to be forthright with each other if we had any exposures to COVID and have the kids stay home and quarantine for 2 weeks if that were the case. And that has happened, where kids have had to quarantine in that pod, but knock on wood, so far everything has been okay with mm-hmm. them. So
do you do the testing at all, the self-tests or quick tests with the kids in schools?
Oh, rapid test is what we refer to it as. Rapid test. Sorry. Yes. Okay. With the kids in the pod, mm-hmm. are we doing that, or just across the board are we
across
doing that?
Across the board, yeah. Because this is the new thing here in Germany, that the kids test themselves when they get to the school. They do the
test. No. I don't know. I wish. No. So you have like nasal swabs that they just mm-hmm. pick up at the door before they go in and do this rapid, and they swab themselves.
Yes.
Get their results in how many minutes?
15 minutes. And they do that. I mean, here, like you just said, for the United States, we live in Bavaria, and this is how it works in the state of Bavaria. It's also different from one state to the other. And at the moment, it's only the fourth graders here, at least in my district, who are allowed to go to school, because they change schools mm-hmm. The next year. So they're allowed to go, and they test, do the self-tests twice a week at school. And they have the nasal swabs and get the result. And if one of them tests positive, I think right now, because it doesn't take that long, they don't have to go into quarantine, not the whole group, because there's this 15 minute time frame, and they wear masks and everything. But the kids who tests positive, of course, has to go home and get a real test, the PCR. Is it called PCR test?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. The PCR test, and then has to go into quarantine. Yeah.
Okay.
So this has started only a couple of weeks ago, and this allows kids, at least some of them, to go back to school.
No, that's fascinating. Okay. No, we do not have that. We have testing, like, we have testing sites that I'm sure every country has mm-hmm. with the tent set up in parking lots, et cetera, that we drive through. And you can, different testing sites are either rapid or PCR, but the schools or businesses are not doing. I've heard that is, was a thing that was kind of in the pipeline to be able to test yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But no, have not experienced that. So interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So here you can buy those tests at like your CVS or Walgreens, for example.
Yes.
They are about €5. But in the kids in school, of course, the school provides the tests. But yeah, here you could, I mean, you could, if you wanted to meet someone, go to, I mean, there are no parties because nothing is allowed at the moment. But yeah, you could do the self-test and and then, I mean, not know for 100% that you are not infectious. Is that the word?
Yes.
At the moment. But yeah, the likelihood is low.
Well, I will look forward to that.
Yeah, so this is what school looks like at the moment, and what does daily life, like businesses and shops and restaurants and everything, how does that look like right now?
So you know, honestly, it looks very normal the way it used to be, and not 100% by any means, but things are definitely opening up. And we live in the South, so the weather is relatively mild, and now it's already warm here, and so the entire time, for the most part, patios, restaurants were were open, and people were eating outside. And now, I would say within the last 3 to 4 weeks, maybe, things have really opened up, and the patios are packed. People are eating inside of restaurants a lot. I went to a dance convention competition with my daughter 2 weeks ago and was very nervous about it. And stayed in a hotel, and she danced inside. They all wore masks, but there were so many people around this hotel. It was downtown Atlanta and in the restaurants, and it was just people everywhere. Maybe 50% wearing masks here and there, but a lot of people don't wear masks anymore. And I think it has to do with the vaccines, that so many people are vaccinated. And a lot of the regulations and rules and mask mandates have been lifted. So that is no longer required in most places. Now, if you go to CVS or Walgreens or Target or a school or a business, most of them require a mask to get in, and they'll have the sign. So when you go inside a business, Home Depot, or, you know, everybody's got masks on, you'll find one or two people who aren't wearing a mask. And, but I would say people are getting together and gathering and seeing their friends and meeting at restaurants a lot, a lot.
And, what about you? Have you gone back to normal, or are you still careful and keeping your distance from
I am. I don't know how I compare to, like, you know, Bavaria or Germany. But I am, I consider myself to be very careful. I am vaccinated. I had the Pfizer vaccine, and I've had both of my doses of Pfizer. And that does make me feel more comfortable and confident in being out and about. I still wear a mask all of the time. I would never not wear a mask. It wouldn't occur to me. I don't eat inside restaurants. I do eat on patios. I go to restaurants outside, but I don't eat inside. I see my friends, not often, but I have seen my friends who are also fully vaccinated. And we sat inside. I've done that like twice. I mean, not a lot, but, and we did sit inside, and I felt okay with that because we were all vaccinated. And I know that does still carry some risk, but I think the risk is relatively minimal, especially when it comes to mental health. I very much am a proponent of that. I try to weigh those two a lot of the time. I think all of us are kind of struggling with that. I'm thankful for the vaccines. I'm scared of the variants. Mm-hmm. I know they exist, and I'm a very anxious person. So, mm-hmm. So
it's interesting that you say that you got the Pfizer vaccine, because here it's the BioNTech vaccine, right? Because BioNTech is German, and then Pfizer is American. It's the same vaccine, but here everyone is only talking about BioNTech.
That's funny. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Really interesting. But was it difficult to get the vaccine, or could you just, I don't know, raise your hand or sign up somewhere and just go to a place and get it?
Yeah, no, at the very, very beginning, it was very difficult. Mm-hmm. And, first it was healthcare workers, and of course, and then it was, over, depending on what state you were, mm-hmm. and over 65 or 75, depending, nursing homes. And at first it was very, very difficult. There was not enough vaccine. The websites were crashing, where you'd get on and they were gone. They have 1,000 doses somewhere, mm-hmm. and they were gone in 2 minutes and that sort of thing. But then after a month or 6 weeks, maybe I'm going to disclose that time has failed me when it comes to COVID. So maybe it was longer than that, but in my head, I think it was 6 to 8 weeks after things opened up, then it became relatively easy.
Okay.
To get a vaccine. Mm-hmm. And now I know a lot of 16-year-olds who have gotten the Pfizer vaccine, mm-hmm. The BioNTech vaccine. and I would have thought it would have taken longer for them to be part of the running, but it has become so easy to get the vaccine that even the 16-year-olds have been able to do that now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really good news then.
Yeah.
So you mentioned also mental health, and I can hear that the past 12 or 14 months were not easy for you and your family. I mean, for no one, I guess, no matter in which country you live. And I'm wondering what were your coping mechanisms during that time? What did you do with regard to self-care and also taking care of the kids and the family?
Yeah, so it was interesting at the very beginning, because it hit in the springtime, the kids got totally into riding their bicycles, mm-hmm. and they were outside all the time, and it was amazing. All of the neighborhood kids, at the very beginning, I was very, very nervous about them being together, very nervous, but we allowed them to do it anyway, and they would ride. In hindsight now we know that it was a-okay for them to be riding, mm-hmm. 4 feet apart, whizzing on their bicycles. They were going to be okay, and thankfully nothing, no COVID happened amongst that crowd. So we would send them outside a lot. I gardened a lot, which mm-hmm. I'm not really a gardener, so I would plant. We would have at the beginning, did y'all have like essential businesses that were open, and what was considered essential, and what, I would be curious to hear what was essential for you guys. But it soon became that the gardening centers were considered essential businesses.
Okay. And not during our first lockdown. It has changed since then, but at the beginning, not the garden centers.
Mm-mm. Yeah, which was odd to me.
Yeah.
But they were considered essential, and they would have curbside pickup.
Okay.
And so you would place an order online and you would pay online, and then they would have your plants out mm-hmm. there and you would just pick them up or whatever. And so I was always very nervous going, even though it was all outside, so I would garden. So that was a lot of what we did. I read a lot. Mm-hmm. I've always read a lot. And so I tried to read. I started this workout called The Class by Taryn Toomey.
Yeah.
You and I talked about that. Yes,
we did. I haven't tried it yet, but it's popular over here as well. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I did The Class a lot, and mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody listening has done it, but, it's very cathartic to me, and, kind of like dig, I don't know. There were a lot of times where I would do The Class and I would just be like in the living room, crying afterwards because you let so much out during this class, mm-hmm. and it's all about feeling and you know, it's kind of this mental and physical, you know, realm or whatever. And so I would, my husband would walk in and I would be sobbing, you know. It was just so much to deal with. And then that class really hit something in my core anyway, without mm-hmm. COVID, and then, you know, with COVID, forget about it. So that was really good for me. And then most recently I started, because I just don't have any time to speak up. Because remember, my kids just went back to school mm-hmm. full time, you know, like my fifth grader has been here the whole time. And mm-hmm. anyway, while I'm sitting here by myself, this is a new thing for me to sit here by myself. And so I started a painting class online, learning how to mm-hmm. acrylic paint. Mm-hmm. I am terrible. I'm not good at it, but it's
not yet.
Not yet. That's what my son said, but I feel like it's one of those things that has allowed me to use a part of my brain that I haven't used before mm-hmm. and do something new that I've never done. And it's been really good for me, even though I'm not great at it. I wish I were great at it, but I'm not. But it's been that painting class. My son, Ellis, who's the fifth grader, came in the other day. He goes, I feel like you're like one of those moms on a TV show who like starts doing all of these things when she gets like older and starts like going out. And I was like, that's kind of what I am. I've become a stereotype. No. What a middle-aged mom is. Here I am. He said it very sweetly, mm-hmm. but it cracked me up. It cracked mm-hmm. me up anyway. So
yeah, I started watercoloring.
Oh, good for you. And did you do it just on your own, or did you sign up for a class?
No, I didn't really sign up for class. There was some kind of like online class with an advent calendar. So every day in December, there was a new activity, like a new yeah. prompt basically. And uh-huh. That's what I did with two friends. And since that's then, we've been meeting once a week for creative night, and we do watercoloring. And
do you meet in person?
No, Zoom, online.
Virtually.
Yeah, virtually. Okay. Yeah, okay. Because it's okay. very strict here in Germany at the moment. Yeah. We have all these rules and regulations. And
what is it? Is it because your cases have skyrocketed again?
Yes. Yeah. The cases okay. have been very high. They are now going down a little bit okay. at least. So it seems like we've reached the peak. And yes. yeah, now they're dropping again.
What about vaccines and that rollout? Do you have a lot of the BioNTech vaccine there? And nope. do you have a lot of vaccine hesitancy there?
I don't know where to start. It's so we don't have many vaccines. Like you said here, it's the healthcare workers and also the older people. Mm-hmm. Sick people with what do you call that? If you have some pre-existing condition, something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have a higher priority. And okay. then with the AstraZeneca vaccine, they had and now it's getting difficult for me to explain that in English, but this vaccine is only allowed for older people now. It was supposed to be for the younger generation, but now
the AstraZeneca
for people older than 60 because of some dangerous side effects.
Is it because of the clots?
Yes, the clots, exactly. Okay.
And so is that because the research showed that it was women, the ones who got it, it was women within yes. that age range. So they've yes. determined like that's not happening in yes. the older crowd. So therefore, exactly. And are those older people taking it? Or are they hesitant?
Some of them do, others don't. Like you said, we have the hesitancy. People mm-hmm. are still debating, discussing, should I get vaccinated or not? Some of them are completely against it. And I think I just looked up the numbers. We have almost 30% of the German population who've gotten the first shot.
Okay.
And not even 10 who got both shots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, it will still take a while. And
yes,
you cannot really, I mean, you can sign up for on a waiting list with your family doctor, for example, to get on a list somewhere. And then if you're lucky, you get the vaccination. But it's not like you said, it's maybe like it was like in the United States a couple of weeks ago. So
yes. Yeah. Well, hopefully it will open up the way it did for us, where it, you know,
hopefully,
but then I think you get to this point where you have, it opens up and then everybody who really wanted to be vaccinated has been vaccinated, then it really stalls. I will say that I hope that you've got a lot of people, we have a fair amount of people who are anti-vax and they, you know, they don't want to vaccinate their children with anything, you know, and that, but then you also have a group that is vaccine hesitant. And I do think that's two different things,
you know, like you're right.
Those who are hesitant and I don't, I mean, I get that it's a new vaccine and you're, you know, so hoping that some of them will watch that everything is turns out okay. And then they will decide, and maybe it will be the same in Germany, because I do think those are two different things, to be hesitant and cautious versus completely anti.
Against it. So, you're right. So we will see, but, because we talked about getting gatherings and going to restaurants and everything. So restaurants have been closed, since December.
Not can you even pick up food?
Yes.
Like, are they open? Okay. Yeah. So they're closed to the public coming in.
Yeah. Not all of them are open. And here in our district or in our area at the moment, you are only allowed to meet one other person outside your household.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we have very strict contact restrictions, and we've had them basically since I think November. And here in Germany, it's all dependent on the number of cases in a certain area.
Okay. They're watching that and they change it accordingly.
Yes.
So yeah, so your town that you're in, how is it faring?
It's, well, I don't know what it's like in the US, but we have 200 cases out of 100,000 within 7 days.
Okay.
So this is always, this is the ratio. Yes. Mm-hmm. And this is pretty high for Germany.
Okay.
But it's always been like that here in Bavaria. So we've always had very high numbers. Yeah.
Okay.
So basically we are still in a lockdown since the beginning of
and
November.
How are the kids doing?
Oh, they are doing like, fine.
Do they play together well? Were they, I mean.
Yeah, they do, but then
I
also.
I know they miss their friends and,
they do.
And you know.
Yeah.
Because mine are seeing their friends now, and that is, you know, because in school or playing outside, or, you know, the kids don't come in the house.
Yeah, same here.
They play outside a lot. And so.
We do that too. Like you said a while ago, I think, and I totally agree with you, you have to. I mean, there are the restrictions, there are the rules and regulations, but you always have to look at the mental aspect of everything as well. So they always had their, not their group of friends, but single friends here and there that they could meet. And we try to have the get togethers, the play dates outside and everything. But yeah, of course we've made sure that, that they also have social, contact.
Yes. Yeah. It's so important.
It is
so important.
It really
it's
is.
It's been difficult to balance those two when you believe the science and you know that this is a pandemic, and, but at the same time, it's been, difficult.
So you said that one of your coping mechanisms is reading, and so so is mine. So what did you read recently, and what's the best book you read during the pandemic?
So I usually, like you and I have talked about this a lot, I read a lot, as do you, but during the pandemic, I haven't been able to read as much. I'll read in these tiny little snippets of time. So I have not read as much as I, you know, if you'd told me that I was being locked down in a house, I would have thought that I would just read and then read and then read some more. And while that would have been lovely, it's been hard to do that with the kids. So I've read a lot of books. Some have been great and some haven't. Right now I'm reading Untamed by Glennon Doyle, which I think perhaps everybody and their mother has read, and I'm just now reading it. So that one's been pretty eye-opening. I think my favorite book that I've read that really stuck with me and I kept thinking about for a long time was The Book of Longings by Sue Monk Kidd.
Yeah, I read that as well. Yeah.
It just was so different and eye-opening, and it was it was just really an interesting perspective. And I really liked that book because it got me thinking for a long time. And everything else, I read another book. It actually might have been a young adult book. I'm not actually sure about that, but I thought it was really beautifully written, and it was something that I don't normally read. And it was called The House by the Cerulean Sea. And I cannot tell you who. Do you know this one? I may need to look it up.
I know the cover. I haven't read it, but I've seen it. So I know what the cover of the book looks like.
Yeah, and it really might be a young adult book. TJ Klune is who wrote it, The House in the Cerulean Sea. And it was basically a fantasy sort of book, within that genre, which I don't normally read. That's not my genre. But I really did enjoy it. I don't even know why I read it. I don't know where I came up with it or found it. I go through these tangents of finding books by people who recommend them, and then this person recommends it, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm not exactly sure where I found that recommendation, but I did enjoy it in this weird way, probably because it was lovely and it was a nicely written book, and it was something different than what I normally read. And that, if I read it any other time of my life, maybe I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does, because I made the same experience. When I look back at the past year and at my reading habits, I also read a lot of fantasy and crime novels, and this is not what I usually read, but it seems my brain needs a story to which it can escape to that doesn't have anything to do with real life, because it's so different and or so brutal or whatever.
I will say that I did read, I've forgotten a lot of what I've read, and these books were so fluffy. So along that line, I did read some books that were books that I would never read normally that were completely fluff. And it was because it was just like my brain could not handle anything but trivial nonsense. Yeah. Almost like the equivalent of, your listeners may not know this, but I know you do, but like a Lifetime original movie or Hallmark movies at Christmas time. Which is also something that I don't watch. That is not what I watch on TV. But in the height of the pandemic, when I was just a ball of anxiety and worry, like I had to read stuff that was just ridiculously light.
So did I.
So I do have quite a few books on my bookshelf that I probably would be ashamed for other people to see. I don't be like that was the year of COVID that I read that. So anyway, but I will say that. So you know what I mean. If you're reading a lot of crime or whatever, just those kind of like total escapism.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's the right word. Yeah.
Almost like you can't, like you've got enough drama in real life. Worry that you don't need to escape by experiencing some other character's drama. I don't know.
Have you read Hamnet?
No,
Maggie O'Farrell, I think.
No, that is on my list though.
I just finished it, but I've had it for several months lying basically lying in my living room, and I put it from one corner to the next corner, and I started it several times and I couldn't read it because it's pretty, I mean, I think even when you read the text on the back of the book, you know that there is that one of the kids will be dying, you know that.
Yes.
And it's, I couldn't do it, but the past weekend I actually finished it, and it's really good, but I, I couldn't,
You couldn't go there.
I couldn't go there for a long time. So it took me until, May to actually read this book, because there is so much drama and sickness and disease and everything in it. Yeah.
Yes. It's like the people at the beginning who are like watching these pandemic documentaries and shit. I'm like, that was such a foreign concept to me. Yes. I'm like, no, thank you.
No,
no, thank you. Right. Yeah.
So what did you watch recently that, I don't know if it's is escapism, or is there any new show or any new movie that we should know about here in Germany that is worth watching?
So I'm not, I don't really watch movies. I don't know why. I used to. Probably not enough time to sit down for that long of chunk of time. So I can't even begin to tell you a movie that I've watched recently. Now shows, I'm also not a huge TV show watcher, but I did watch some. And this one's not new, but I love Schitt's Creek. I don't know. Have y'all?
I haven't watched it because it's not on Amazon Prime or Netflix, is it? Or maybe not on the German German
it's on Netflix,
version,
but maybe not the German one.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. It's that one cracks me up. So Schitt's Creek. And that one's been on for a while. I think that was, got like 7 seasons. So it's been on for a while. So I had started it years ago, and then I finished it, or almost finished it, during the pandemic. So that one's really funny. And that one's certainly light. And then another one that I really liked in second season, hasn't even started yet, is Ted Lasso.
Oh yeah. Apple Plus, right?
Yes. Yeah. So that one. And once again, we're going back to this theme of kind of lightness, like nothing heavy. I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
I think every woman I know probably watched the series called Bridgerton.
Yes. Oh, of course we did. We watched that here in Germany as well.
So I watched a few episodes of that, but once again, it's just not, I'm not really that kind of like romance kind of whatever. So, so I maybe watched 4 episodes of that. So I did not watch Bridgerton, but I would venture to say that almost every other person did watch Bridgerton.
Same here.
And that's really it. I would say I listen to a lot of podcasts. I would listen to yours more if I spoke better German. So I've only listened to a few of your episodes when I'm trying to decipher and have to slow it down. But I'd listen to podcasts, but I don't know if that's, I do that mostly when I'm doing all the things around the house that need to be done to pop those in. And some of them that I listened to have been really, really good, like meditative story. I don't know if you listen to that one.
No, but so that one, write it down.
Yeah, that one, when you're needing to just like zen out, highly anxious, or you just need a touchstone of calmness, that's a good one. It's storytelling. And some episodes obviously are better than others, but it'll be somebody telling a story and then they prompt you along the way. It's just a life story of whatever the subject may be, just somebody's kind of normal story. And they make it such that it's almost like that humanness of these beautiful things that happen in your life, or maybe ugly things that happen in your life, are also just very human. And they turn that into kind of reflection for you to sit in those moments of whether it's happiness or grief or finding beauty in the ugly, and having these meditative prompts, which I'm not someone who does meditation, but this one really, there's been moments where I've just stopped washing dishes and sat there or stood there and really like felt, a real fullness in what they're saying. So mm-hmm. I do, that's a great podcast if you're needing to meditate or you're mm-hmm. possibly you're new to meditating, because it doesn't feel like what I consider what I had in my head of meditating. So that one's been a good one. Mm-hmm. I listen to The Daily every day.
Yes.
The New York Times, The Daily, mm-hmm. which is not light usually. Mm-hmm. I listen to Coronavirus Fact versus Fiction, which is Sanjay Gupta, mm-hmm. Who is like the American doctor. And he actually just finished up his season of Coronavirus Fact versus Fiction, basically saying moving into a new one. And he hasn't even dropped a new episode, but he has a new podcast. And I wrote it down trying to remember. Chasing Life is what it's called, his mm-hmm. new one that I think starts literally today.
Okay.
Maybe tomorrow. And it's basically like the other side of COVID, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, but I know you like podcasts.
I do.
Do you listen to Ear Hustle, the one that is based mm-hmm. out of a prison? That one's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. What are your favorites?
What should I read next? This is one of my favorite podcasts. I get a lot of book recommendations. Okay. And then I'm a big fan of the 10 Things to Tell You podcast. Have you heard about that?
I have heard about that one, but I haven't listened to it.
I love it. It's really good. And it's the host is Laura Tremaine. She used to have a blog called Hollywood Housewife. She's not blogging anymore, but I've been following her since I think I discovered her when we moved to Chattanooga. I mean, maybe 2012, 13, something like that. And since then, I read and listen to everything that she's writing or publishing, and she she published a book, and I think you might like that as well. It just came out a couple of weeks ago, and it's called Share Your Stuff, I'll Go First, and it's part memoir and part self-reflecting questions. Mm-hmm. So it's like the podcast you mentioned at the beginning.
Excited to have a new one.
Yeah, you start thinking a lot when you listen to her podcast, because it's always like she asks a question and answers the question for herself and shares her story, but she always invites you to think about it yourself and to share your perspective on it, either in your journal or post about it on social media. So yeah, I really like that concept.
Okay. I do too.
Yeah. What else? I also listen to The Daily, but not to every episode. And I really like Brené Brown's podcast.
Yes.
Unlocking Us. And what's the other one? Dare to Lead.
Yes.
And I have several more, but I think these are my favorites. But it's not, none of them are like that I would listen to every episode. It's mm-hmm. I read the text and then I decide do I want to listen to it or not. And then we also have, like you said, we here in Germany we have the coronavirus update with Professor Drosten and so it's very similar concept. That a year ago, and I don't listen to every episode anymore, but at the beginning when the whole pandemic started, I did. This is where I got all my information from.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's like the one here that Sanjay Gupta does. And he at the beginning, you know, when you were just like wanting the correct mm-hmm. information, I wish everybody would listen to it. And then maybe we wouldn't have all these crazy, you know, rumors flying around. But I guess that's why he's shifting into this new one, because I think we've gotten so much information mm-hmm. that you don't need to listen to it anymore. But I do love those podcasts that make you think about, I don't know, sit in your thoughts and like apply it to yourself, like you were saying, you know, for her to like prompt you to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Probably because we just move so much. We're like just going all the time. And it's nice for somebody to allow you to stop and think about yourself for a moment and how you feel about something or something you've forgotten. So many times I'll listen to something and some memory will come up that I didn't even know I had, you know, and that's kind of, I don't know, kind of nice to slow down and do that. So
I have two more questions before we wrap it up.
Okay.
Now I would like to look to the future, to the summer. So you said that school is almost over at the end of this month, right?
Yeah. So the very end of May, the 21, two of my kids get out like the 27th and the other one on the 28th or something like that. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. 27th and 28th. Yeah.
Okay. So what's on your bucket list for the summer?
Well, so my dad still has a cabin in North Carolina. So that, to everybody listening, it's about 2.5 hours away. So we can drive there and hiking, and there's a lake and that's kind of outdoorsy kind of stuff. So we'll probably do that, you know, some this summer. That's a nice, easy getaway that is socially distanced by nature of it, you know, being out in the woods or whatever. And so that's on the list. And then our other big one that we planned quite some time ago, hoping that COVID would be over, because, you know, everybody thought it was just COVID's just going to end, is to go to Washington State. And that's that's mid end of July.
Yeah.
And we still plan to do that. Mm-hmm. I feel comfortable doing it because my husband and I are vaccinated, but I'm not fully comfortable with my kids doing it because mm-hmm. they are not. So, you know, they require masks on the airplanes and all the things, and it's still months away. So I'm hoping that that can still happen. We've spent, you know, kind of a coping thing that we talked about earlier is that my husband and I have spent a lot of time planning for this trip. So we plan to go. Washington State has 3 national parks in it. And so our family, that's one of the things that we really love to do, is visit the national parks in the United States. And so there's 3 there. So we would fly into Seattle and spend some time kind of off the shore of Seattle, or the San Juan Islands, and then go to Mount Rainier National Park, Olympic National Park, and North Cascades National Park. And that's a 2-week trip. So the big thing would be flying out there, obviously, and being around people, but then we would rent a car and we're staying in Airbnbs and like a rental homes mm-hmm. that and can socially distance once you're, you know, hiking and all that kind of stuff. But the flight out there and back is what kind of has me hesitant.
Yeah. So yes, I totally get it. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what we're thinking. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it will work for you.
Yeah. What about you guys? Can you have somewhere you can drive and do something?
You know, my coping mechanism has been to only plan about like 24 hours ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah. To not have the disappointment. And yes.
I haven't really thought about summer. We have, at the end of May, we have a 2-month early summer break, but then we have six or seven more weeks until the end of July, until we get the long 6-week summer break. And mm-hmm. I don't think that there will be any travel, maybe within Germany, that hotels are opening mm-hmm. up for the end of May, beginning of June. But I'm hoping for maybe a trip to Italy or to Croatia or the Netherlands or something like that, that this will be possible in August.
So.
But at the moment, it's not, I mean, with quarantine and testing and everything, if you had to, you could, but I mean, why would you go on a trip when you have to go into quarantine there? And then when you come back, that doesn't really make any sense. So,
Right.
Yeah. But hopefully it will be different in the summer.
Oh, I hope so.
Yes. And one last question. So how does Trump America, or now Biden America, what's the difference? How does it, can you see it? Can you feel it?
Yes, I can. So gosh, that's such a big one, right? We could have a whole episode talking about that.
Try to keep it brief.
I'll try to keep it slow, or I mean it's short and to the point.
Yes.
So yes, I can feel a big difference personally. And I would say that the main thing would be for me personally, and for a lot of people I know, you know, you would wake up each morning and you would feel nervous about what he had said or tweeted, right?
Yeah.
And
same here.
And what are the repercussions of that? And then for me personally, having this low level kind of boiling under my surface, and just nerves and anger, just feeling kind of just nervous all the time, and I don't feel that anymore. I don't feel like I have to wait and see, you know, be scared and feel heavy for the rest of the day, worrying about, you know, how it was going to affect my fellow Americans or the underprivileged or, you know, certain demographics or just that hatred that was there. So that I feel more hopeful, you know. And it was nice the very first time that Biden spoke to just hear somebody who was speaking like a
normal person.
I was trying to, how do I word this nicely? You know, speaking like a normal person that you could understand what he was saying, and he wasn't going off on these insane tangents and not finishing a sentence and just saying absurd things that just would get me just fearful, you know. And a lot of people don't like Biden, you know, but I just feel like it was so lovely to see a president stand up there and sound presidential, just sound like somebody you could actually listen to. I mean, I couldn't even listen to Trump when he was on whatever the heck that show was that he was on. So to listen to him as president of the United States was just absurdity. I mean, you know, what was that show called?
The one you are fired?
You're fired. Whatever.
The Apprentice.
The Apprentice. Thank you. I mean, he was absurd on that, you know, and then to have him stand up there representing the United States was just very, very stressful. And I don't feel that anymore. So that's
good to hear.
I think just, so that feels different. And then also just, you know, having the vaccines and having somebody talk and believe science and lean on people who are knowledgeable and not make every decision on their own, but to have somebody who you feel like they're at least in conversation with people who are experts in whatever arena that needs to be to lead a country. And that is nice to know. So,
yeah, that's good to hear.
Yes.
I can.
What always... do you feel the difference?
Yes. It has gotten quiet.
Yes. I mean, there was a time where you didn't, well, I mean, it's interesting to me that it's always interesting to me that you would follow the United States and even know Trump or whatever.
I mean,
the same, I never say her name correct, but like Angela Merkel or whatever, like I know her and I listen and whatever, but like, it's just interesting how much weight Trump carried in the world and that it affected everybody. But there was a time where we, as the United States or we as the world, did not have this kind of underlying thing in the back of your head all the time, like, what's he going to do next? What's he going to do next? What's it going to do? You didn't think about the president of the United States every single day. Months would go by at a time where you did not even think of the president of the United States. And with Trump, I think everybody thought of him all the time. And it's nice. Quiet is the right word. It's quiet.
It has gotten quiet. And a lot of people ask me what it was like when we lived in the United States and Obama was president. And I, like you said, I mean, we are not and we were not American citizens. So, of course, we were not affected by many legislations and laws and things that they decided in Washington. But still, it was quiet. I mean, you didn't hear very much because everyone did their business and did what they were supposed to be doing. And that changed with Trump.
Yes. And Twitter.
And yes, exactly. So yeah. And
yeah, quiet is the right word. It feels more normal because Americans don't go around thinking of the president and what he's going to say and do next.
Exactly.
I mean, to your point, you live your life. You pour into your kids and your job and your family and your spouse and your friends, and you just live your life. But when the president is, terrifying, you think of it all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Then,
yes.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. I hope that was interesting in some way. Thank you.
It was interesting for me, and that's the most important.
Good.
Fact. Yeah.
Well, so, I love talking to you. So
yeah, I love talking to you too.
I always feel like we, are always kind of on the same page or learning from each other, or we like similar things, but enough interest in, I'm missing you.
Yeah, so, I miss you too. And I wish we would come, it would be possible for us to come and visit next time. It's been too long, and
we'll get there. We'll talk about how the Roaring Twenties, did you call it the
no
yeah that's such an American thing as I say as it came out of my mouth I was like what yeah. am I talking about we talk about the Roaring Twenties, like in the 1920s. Mm-hmm. It was after I believe the Spanish flu and all these mm-hmm. things and America just kind of was like bustling, and you had the flappers and the dancing and the all of these things, and it was this roaring time. And obviously I wasn't alive during that time, but like in the history books or whatever, the pictures or whatever. And so in the United States, we talk about that now, that this is 100 years later. And like, what will this version of the Roaring Twenties look like, with like, mm-hmm. when the world opens up again and everybody is happy and joyful and we can see each other and have parties and gatherings or whatever, and what will it be referred to? But I feel like we're on the cusp of this next version of the Roaring Twenties.
I hope so.
And I hope that we can see each other sooner rather than later. And it'll,
yes.
We're too old to party too much, but we can, sit down with a cup of coffee and love it.
Yes, exactly. And that's what we will do. Hopefully very soon.
I hope so too.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
All right.
You.
Tell everybody hello and thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
I did too.